Welcome to the Leader, Manager, Coach podcast, where we share knowledge, philosophies, wisdom, and insight to help you on your journey in both sport and life. Introducing your host, Rob Riles.
Hello and welcome to the Leader Manager Coach podcast. Welcome along. It's Rob Riles welcoming you to another edition. Now, in today's program, I'm going to do a follow-up on a very specific niche topic. So, look, if you're not one of our listeners who is passionate about football and the beautiful game is not something that fires you up, but you take a great deal of value from Leader, Manager, Coach for other reasons, then look, this particular podcast episode may not be for you. Now, it's not for me to put people off listening to the podcast. I want as many people as possible to listen and share and get great value from it, but I make no bones about it. This is a niche subject, and I'm going to focus on some coaching detail and talk about one of the greats of the game. So here we go. Now, a little while ago, maybe 1 or 2 years ago, on Leader Manager Coach, we did a podcast episode called The Philosophy of Football in Shadows of Marcello Bielsa, basically based on the phenomenal book by Jed Davis about the philosophy of Marcello Bielsa, the amazing Argentinian football coach who is almost one of the grandfathers of the modern philosophy of how the game is played, dependent upon what your viewpoint is. Now, this particular episode today is a follow-up on that, which has been inspired basically by an article I read, which was entitled The 10 Commandments of the Football Professor, Marcello Bielsa. And it was a 2017 article and entitled or subtitled, How Do You Make a Footballer? And this information that I'm going to share in the podcast is available on the internet. But this is my take on it, and it's filtered through the thought processes of obviously my good self, having read and studied Jed's great work, The Philosophy of Football in Shadows of Marcello Bielsa, and studied Bielsa, and also studied books on Pep, and obviously being a coach, understood some of the work of Mourinho and the other coaches that base a lot of their philosophy on Bielsa. Now, look, the aim of this podcast episode is not to just regurgitate the article, but I've read the article, I've been through it a couple of times, and I don't agree with all of it, and there's a translation issue with it, because it's, you know, Bielsa's Argentinian, and the conference that this came from was in Belgium, and the author, I'm not sure where the author's from, I'm not sure whether he's French, but look, this is not just a regurgitation of the article. This is my thought processes on it, and I'd like you to, as I say all the time with the things we talk about of this nature on Leader Manager Coach, go and get the original text, search it out and research it for yourself and come up with your own philosophy, because that is what is important. And in fact, that's one of the main tenets of this particular article, authenticity. So I'm going to go through it, and I'm going to give you, I want you at the end of it for you to come up with some thinking points and some summaries, but it's so well worth considering. It's a great piece of work, and if you're interested in the beautiful game and its evolution and how to make yourself better as a coach and how to improve your players, then this is definitely something for you. Now, I'm actually going to read a paragraph from the beginning of the article. So this is really key. It's a beautiful summary of things that I really believe. It goes like this. Without the right genetic composition, there are no big players, Bielsa says. Natural education is the best of them all. This allows players to find answers to the questions they are asked during the football game. But that formula alone is no longer sufficient. It is no longer applicable in today's world. After all, the passion for football has to compete with other passions and is therefore not used enough to develop genetic predisposition. Moreover, there are not enough places in the cities to play football. So let's just analyse that for a minute and see what he's saying. First of all, he's saying, look, make no bones about it. If you are to be a great player, you have to have been gifted with the right genetics. Maradona had the right genetics. Pelé had the right genetics. And there is an enormous variety in genetics that allow you to play football at a good level. Look at Peter Crouch. Compare Peter Crouch to Adrian Heath. There's probably a, you know, 2 foot something difference between the two. And hear what Bielsa's saying. You have to have the right genetics. If you don't have any speed at all, if you are not put together from a musculoskeletal point of view, where you can produce power and control your limbs and have that muscle ability, that muscular togetherness and strength that obviously has to be developed, but there has to be a baseline framework foundation. And then on top of that, he goes on straight away to talk about natural education. And the talent that he talks about is not that, you know, yes, Maradona had talent. Yes, Pelé had talent. Yes, George Best had talent, of course. But what is it? Bielsa's saying that that talent is the ability to find solutions to problems. So Best being challenged by two or three players. Maradona being challenged by two or three players. Pelé being challenged by two or three players, but still being able to execute the ball successfully under those circumstances. That is what Bielsa is saying is talent. And he's also saying that that talent is developed from the genetic predisposition to be able to do so in environments. And he's saying that those environments are no longer sufficiently available in cities to play football. The back streets of Brazil, of Argentina, the favelas, the back streets of Glasgow, of Manchester, of London, the brick walls, the alleyways, the waste ground, those places and those environments are not as prevalent as they were. And also, as Bielsa points out, football now isn't the only thing. There are so many other things. The internet, the media, the way society is, particularly in the first world, the Western world. Safety is a concern. We have this enormous, enormous swing of safety and parents being scared out of their wits to let kids play out and kids much preferring to be on the internet and sitting down. And, you know, the obesity thing that we've going on, all that is related to by this first paragraph. So the genetic predisposition to be able to do it. Then the development of talent, which is the ability to solve problems under immense pressure, which is learnt and developed in certain environments, which are rarer and rarer and rarer.
Are you struggling to find that extra edge to help you stand out above the crowd? Separating yourself from the rest is often about personal leadership. Achieve your true potential and become who you really can be. The Leader Manager Coach Pro Course is a unique membership accessing the knowledge and wisdom from history's greats that will help you develop both personally and professionally to make you truly stand out. The Leader Manager Coach Pro Course. Access now at patreon.com. Leader Manager Coach.
Now, Bielsa's considered to be probably the, if not the, he's certainly one of the most knowledgeable minds on coaching and the game that exists on the planet today. And from his work of this meticulous analysis of the game, you know, he really is a theorist as well as a practitioner. He's come up with, and this is designated in the article, between the ages of 8 to 18, so the development, so now we're talking about the development of young players from 8 to 18, a 10-year period. Bielsa has developed a study program of 2 5-year blocks covering this 10-year period, each year lasting for 9 months so that there's sufficient holidays and breaks. A 36-week block every year. And for young players, 4 training sessions a week within that block. So it's not overload, is it? It's essentially one every other day, or thereabouts. And over a period, that's 720 training sessions in 5 years. I mean, how particular is that? An actual division of a 5-year period of four sessions per week over 36 weeks over a 5-year period. And going even further into that, and this is without the actual detail of every single session, which would be far beyond one podcast episode, Bielsa has come up with 170 exercises that he talks about. He says it himself, "I have put together 170 exercises that include the full game." And for example, he says, "Five ways to make yourself free so that you can play without a man marking you. 26 individual movements for you to learn so that you can receive the ball." This is forensic detail that very, very few other human beings have gone into. Now, whether you agree wholeheartedly with Bielsa or not, that is not exactly the point. The point is he has created a starting position that can be analysed and can be used. And it's no wonder that some of the greats follow his theory. So there we have Bielsa's starting point from this article. How do you make a footballer? Well, he's been pretty explicit about what he thinks the problems are, why the problems exist, and what to do about it. It's pretty explicit. And that's the detail of the development of young players learning the game from basics at 8 years old up to a fully fledged, hopefully professional at 18, going through a full curriculum over a 10-year period. And obviously, if you've got the desire to follow up on this kind of information, then hopefully this podcast will give you the inspiration to go and do that. Because look, in one 20 to 30 minute podcast, you know, the whole idea of this is to ask questions for you and to stimulate thought processes, not to give you a man, the life's work of one of the greats, but just to touch and give an overview of some of the things he's done. So this first bit is all about the developmental side of the game. Going on from that developmental aspect, the article goes on to talk about how Bielsa went on to talk about the future evolution of the game. And he talked about how, well, three things essentially. Firstly, how the space in which to play, or the spaces in which to play, are almost constantly being eroded. So that as the game develops, and in today's modern world, and in 5 years you'd expect it to be even more difficult, that the spaces in which to play, because the game gets faster, the players get more athletic, the pressing gets more intense, the distances between the lines get less. So the spaces in which to play are increasingly limited. The challenge, therefore, in the development of talent is teaching players, coaching players, and getting players to learn how to play successfully in ever-decreasing spaces with less room and less time. And what is Bielsa's answer to this? Well, we've already talked about his initial answer, which is the mastery process of teaching young players over a 10-year period, all, in his mind anyway, all the things you need to be able to do in order to execute successful moves under pressure. Now, obviously, that mastery process has to continue, and you have to get ever better and better as the pressure increases, the pressing increases, the time and space reduces. But that, in his words, is the definition of talent development, of people and players who find solutions to problems. In his mind, two of the key things that are answers to this problem. Number one, passing. He actually says passing is a solution for a huge number of problems. And he talks about the absolute necessity for the quality of pass that doesn't bounce. Obviously, you need the right pitch, but we know what he's talking about. A pass, he talks about passes that are played at angles and not straight passes that force players. If the pass is played forward in a straight way, the player has his back to goal. He talks about the use of angled passes so that a player is able to turn much more easily, if not already, and face and play forward. He talks again about the next thing, the third man. In order to break lines, as he calls it, get the ball through from your own defensive third and penetrate their attacking line and get the ball in between their midfield unit and their attacking unit, and then again to move the ball even further forward, subsequently between their midfield unit and their defensive unit, and then ultimately behind their defensive unit, you increasingly have to look at using the third man. And the third man that he's describing, for anybody who is not sure, is where you want to play the ball to, say, your centre forward, but you can't because that line of pass is blocked. You then have to play the ball to another free man on your team who then can play the ball to your centre forward. That is what he means by the third man. Sometimes it's going horizontal or sideways to go forward. Sometimes it's going back to go forward. But by passing the ball, moving the ball, it changes the angle and creates a space, and then you're able to facilitate that pass forward. He talks about, or defines, the third man as about finding a free player who can now play forwards by bouncing it through another player. As the third man, who's the player you want to get it to, was originally covered by an angle of pressure to the original possessor of the ball. And at the end of the article, so I suppose this middle bit of the article, before I go on to the end of it, essentially could, the three main components of that are the necessity to play in a tighter space with less time and less room. The answer to that being the types of pass we use, the quality, the angle, who we play it to, and the absolute necessity of the third man, according to Bielsa. Now, the end of the article, he goes on to give, Gauthier goes on to give Bielsa's 10 commandments. And I've read through these, and look, I'm going to read them to you and you can make your own mind up. But I think they can be summarized in less. But here we go, the 10 commandments of Marcelo Bielsa. 1, don't sacrifice beautiful football for the result. Now, that could be argued all day long. In every bar and every pub in the world, people argue about that, but he obviously believes in beautiful football. 2, players must learn every action and bring them to life when needed. That goes back to his developmental phase from 8 to 18. 3, you may or may not believe in this one, but he says a playing style or system that does not look to play the essential attacking midfielder, possibly the 10, misses something. He's a great believer in the 10. You may or may not utilize that in your game or your belief or your philosophy. 4, passes must always be given on the angle. It prevents you having to receive the ball with your back to goal, which slows the game down. 5, there are 10 tactical playing formations. You must learn all of them, and players must learn to play in all of them. I suppose that depends on which one of those you use, depends on which players you have available. There are many, many coaches who have a preferred formation and like their players to play in that formation anyway, because that is what they believe in. There are other managers and coaches who believe in fitting the formation around the players that they have in their squads. 6, as a coach, you have to choose a playing style in possession and out of possession, but spend more time on the in possession than the out of possession. 7, spend time learning to solve the problems caused by reduced space. 8, a good pass does not bounce, it shaves the ground. 9, everything starts with talent. Talent provides an answer that nobody else comes up with. 10, authenticity. It is the indispensable quality of a coach. Our primary challenge is convincing others of our belief and our conviction. Now, I think that those 10 commandments can be reduced to a few simple ones. I'm going to start with the last one, authenticity. Look, you have to be you. You have to take whatever experience life has given you as a player, as a coach, as a supporter, as an observer, as a scout, as a bystander, and put that into your own unique philosophy and be yourself. Bielsa urges us to focus on the beautiful side of the game, which is the in-possession side of the game. And within that, urges us to look constantly at the challenges of limited space, getting players to play and find answers to playing in limited space. In order to solve those problems, look at developing pass quality, demanding the pass quality, good passes into space, not necessarily feet, at an angle that get the ball forward quickly. Look at breaking lines using the third man. If you cannot get it there in one, you need to bounce it and get it there in two to the third man. If you cannot get it there in three, in two or three, then look at rapid circulation of the ball, maybe horizontal and back to go forward. Focus on the pass. Bielsa seems to have a predisposition to like the number 10, the central attacking midfielder. Again, it's a personal choice. Be authentic. I think we could say get comfortable and understanding of the 10 playing styles that Bielsa talks about, whether that's your 4-4-2, your 4-3-3, your box midfield, your diamond midfield, playing with your number 10 or your false 9 or your two forwards, whatever it is, your 3-5-2. Learn the styles and see how they work and what are their positives and negatives and where the spaces are and what players you've got to work into those formations. And lastly, as a coach, belief. Belief in yourself and belief in what you do, and be able with that belief to convince others, because you will have to convince your players. The results will convince the supporters and those who own the club, hopefully, but you have to be able to convince people of your belief. Cluffy did it, Shanks did it, and many others have done it too. People will follow somebody to the end of the earth if they believe in them. And often that belief comes from years and years of study and work and knowledge and a depth of foundation. So that, ladies and gentlemen, is my follow-up on Marcelo Bielsa. We've included his 10 commandments, which I think can be easily reduced down to a few. Being authentic, focusing on, as an in-possession tactic, the challenges of limited space, using passes, using the third man, and circulating the ball, and being able to have a belief system that convinces others of your philosophy. I hope you've enjoyed it. Whether you're a developmental coach or a senior coach looking to win games, I hope you've got something out of it. Catch you later. Bye.